All right, we are back with episode, it's 242 or 241. I'm not sure because I just labeled this our NFL mock draft. So this is our sixth annual mock draft, which is kind of crazy that it has come this far.
Do not
come. oh my God, I'm going to come.
But it has come this far, and we are, I think every year, we need to just go back and look how many correct picks we've had. So we always only do the first round for those of you that are new. I think last year we either tied or set the new record. I think it was either 7 or 8.
Episode 242, by the way.
242. We'll call it 8. We'll need a benchmark. Let's try to get to 9 correct picks this year. We already predetermined our draft order from, I think, a few episodes ago that we set it. But it will go Ethan, me, and then Jarrett. And then we're not doing snakes, so we'll just go 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. And you try to limit the trades, but obviously it's realistic when we have a couple. With that being said,
it's always more than a couple, and that's what ends up fucking us in terms of our correct picks.
In the past, though, I think last year we ended up getting 2 picks right. They traded back or up and still drafted the right person.
Right in the same spot. Yeah.
We had them taken.
So
as long as we have them taking that person, not necessarily at that pick, it counts. Without further ado, and then at the end, we might go through some of our favorite gambling picks because it's always fun to gamble on the draft. So if we have any, we can look to DraftKings and browse through that. But Ethan is on the clock with Chicago Bears. Not much of a no-brainer here.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think I need the full clock for this one. Obviously, as everybody I think knows at this point, they're going to take Caleb Williams 1 of 1. As much as some people may be high on him, low on him, not super convinced that he is the next coming of Patrick Mahomes or whoever you want to compare him to. He is their guy. It's been made pretty apparent. I know there were rumors of him not wanting to go to Chicago. All that kind of got snuffed out. So Caleb Williams, not a whole lot to say. The Bears do have another pick down the road too, so they can address
that I have needs
down there. Yep. At 9. So give me Caleb Williams 1 of 1. And that should hopefully be our first correct pick of the draft.
1 of 1, paint them nails in Chicago, baby.
Yeah. I'm not in love with Caleb Williams.
Me
but obviously,
yeah.
You gotta take him.
With another quarterback down the line here that we'll probably talk about later.
Exactly.
It's probably a little overhyped.
I have Washington Commanders at 2.
This is tough.
It's tough, but it's not, especially if you look at the odds. I think they're starting to veer towards a more clear-cut favorite as to who they're gonna take. We all know they're obviously gonna go quarterback here. I'm thinking that they got to mix things up franchise-wise. Take a guy who had a little over 1,100 yards on the ground last year, had a phenomenal showing, kind of reminded me of RG3, who they ended up taking. He was a Heisman winner. Got to go with Jaden Daniels here from LSU. The better quarter. I think he's a much more overall rounded quarterback than Drake May.
I don't know about better. I think he's a guy who's going to be
electric.
Able to – Mm-hmm. He's a guy that's going to be able to come in and play right away, more so than Drake May is going to be. Drake May is going to be a guy that is going to need to be like a Jordan Love or an Aaron Rodgers. I use the Green Bay example a lot because obviously it comes to mind, but I think that's what Drake May is going to have to do because Drake May reminds me a lot of Mitch Trubisky, who was thrown in the fire, North Carolina quarterback, and he obviously did not do well. So I don't hate that pick. I do think that Washington probably tends to go that route. You know, so we shall see.
Yeah, the only other thing I'll say is I talked to Travis a little bit about this earlier, actually, is that it makes sense as to who they brought in to keep the same game style. If you've got Marcus Mariota, who is a mobile quarterback, if Jaden Daniels gets hurt, you're going to want a guy that's kind of similar to the system that you're running. If you were to bring in a Drake May, you've got a totally different offense style that you're running. He gets hurt, Mariota comes in, you're going to have to change up your entire game plan for however long that could happen, or if they just don't pan out, right?
Yeah.
And I was telling Ethan this earlier. I was like, do you really want to take 2 quarterbacks that wind up being a bust back-to-back from UNC?
It's true.
Probably not. And as of right now, Jaden Daniels is -275 to go number 2 overall.
Okay. That pretty much lays it out. That makes my number 3 pick overall easy, I think. New England Patriots on the board. They have to go quarterback here. New head coach in town. If this were Bill Belichick, I would be a little bit questionable whether they would trade back or maybe take the BPA, which the board tells us BPA is not a quarterback right now. But Marvin Harrison Jr. does you no good if you don't have a quarterback to throw to him. And right now, I'm sorry, Mac Jones. Well, they got rid of Mac Jones, actually. Mac Jones is in Jacksonville. Who's their starting quarterback right now? I don't even know. Zappi?
It's got to be, yeah.
It's got to be Bailey Zappi. So, like, for me, I think this is going to be a dumpster fire, and I love to see it being a Dolphins fan. They're going to draft Drake May, quarterback at UNC. I mean, it's
he is essentially
– sorry, Jacoby Brissett they brought in.
Oh, he's essentially
Mac Jones.
Mac Jones, Bailey Zappi with some legs. A little bit of legs. That's about it.
He's literally Mitch Trubisky 2.0.
He has the arm talent, but the thing is that until we see it, we're not going to know if it's going to pan out in the NFL. We know that his last year at UNC, he struggled a little bit. The numbers weren't there quite like they were in 2022. So I like the pick. I think obviously it's the pick that they're going to go.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised. There have been obviously rumblings that they could
trade back. I know. I thought about it.
See it. Like, it doesn't make sense. If you're going to try to start your season with Jacoby Brissett at the helm, I mean, I guess you could draft a quarterback later and like a Michael Penix or something and try to sit in behind him for a few weeks, but that just doesn't make sense.
The only team I could see trading up here, it's a team I have at 12. I could see Denver going up. I could see Denver climbing that board.
Denver, Minnesota, or Vegas.
Yep, 11, 12, and 13.
Trade up. I just have a hard time feeling with the quarterbacks that are left after these top three. Either of them are going to try to get into the top 10 to make that pick. Which is what I was telling Ethan earlier. I'm like, I would not. Like, I have the Vikings later, and I don't think that they should trade up to take a JJ McCarthy or someone. But it might happen. Regardless of the fact, top three, I think we nailed them all right there. Ethan's up with the Arizona Cardinals.
Also, before we continue on, did we even mention that, like, to the crowd here that we're doing this all together in one place?
Oh yeah, we are.
Makes a lot more sense if they know that, but. We have gotten together for, I think, all of them but one.
Yep. Yeah, because one year I was in Virginia still, so I did. We did it on Zoom.
One year my kid was a week and a half old.
I mean,
so.
I was in Virginia 3 years, but one of the years I actually, as Jared moves his chair, one year I was still in Virginia, but I think I was actually home the week we did the draft, which is why we were able to do it in person. But back together again, sitting in Jared's basement.
Yep.
But yeah, I have the Cardinals next. This is a pick that I also would not be surprised if somebody tried to trade up for, and if they got a good enough bargain, they take it. I am not going to do that here because I think at this point, especially with the Cardinals roster as it's constructed right now, you can't pass up on the best player available, which is Marvin Harrison Jr. Their wide receiver one right now is Michael Wilson. I mean, Greg Dortch probably is going to be that guy if you don't have Marvin Harrison, but on the roster, Michael Wilson is their wide receiver one. So they desperately need somebody for Kyler Murray. This is somebody who's probably as close to DeAndre Hopkins as they've had since they had DeAndre Hopkins. So again, to me, a no-brainer.
Getting rid of Marquise Brown almost has to solidify them keeping this pick and taking Marvin Harrison.
Yep.
Yeah.
You have nobody else.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hear what?
You hear that ringing?
No.
Okay.
Okay.
Am I crazy? Maybe I'm crazy.
Maybe. I don't think it's loud enough to matter anyway, but we all just looked at each other like, do you hear that?
Yeah.
So if that's the clear-cut pick, great. I'm on the clock with the Los Angeles Chargers. Again, this is a pick that the Vikings may look to trade up into to take a quarterback.
No.
But, and I was talking earlier to Ethan because we were on our way to the golf course earlier together. Jared was in a different car, but I was saying that I know that the decision doesn't lie solely in the hands of Harbaugh, but if you're him, first-year head coach, you're probably not looking to trade out of that spot. You want to get a guy that's going to help that roster because you offloaded all of your wide receivers. You have a good one on the board here. You almost have to take him. Got the two best, Marvin Harrison. You got to take the next best. He's right there. Malik Nabers at LSU. He's a guy who fits into that slot role that's going to take over who they have right now, which is Darius Davis. Malik Nabers, 6'1", 199, had an impressive 4.35 40 at the combine. This is someone that the Chargers need, especially if you have that guy with Justin Herbert who hasn't really shown to take, like, he's kind of taking that next step, but he needs that little boost. You need a guy like him in that offense, given the fact that they just got rid of Keenan Allen and Mike Williams.
Yep.
Yeah, and on top of that, they currently only have four wide receivers on the depth chart, so they don't even have guys.
God,
Jared's over here just trying to sabotage.
No.
No, so, like, if you even look at their depth chart right now, they have Josh Palmer, Quentin Johnston, Darius Davis, and Simi Fehoko. Tell me who two of those four guys are, and I'll be shocked that you even know who they are, because I don't.
Yeah.
The other two guys, you know, Quentin Johnston, brick for hands, and Josh Palmer, somebody who has been reliable but is not a wide receiver one by any stretch of the measure. So you have to go. I wouldn't be surprised if they draft two wide receivers in this draft alone, and they're both starting at some point in the season because they just have nobody else.
Okay. That makes my next pick super-duper easy, I feel like. New York Giants. They don't have a quarterback. I don't think they go J.J. McCarthy here. He doesn't scream Brian Daboll to me. Brian Daboll fit. They also paying Daniel Jones a ton of money. I know they're kind of in a weird position. They have zero offensive weapons. None. And
glad you're going this route.
They have had no wide receivers since Odell Beckham left. And this guy's basically, to me, like kind of like OBJ reincarnated.
I think he could emerge as the wide receiver one out of this draft class. Yep. Call me crazy.
Yeah.
But I love this guy.
Roma Dunze out of Washington. 6'3", 215. Big body. Can go up and grab it. Can go up and get it. Also, guys, he ran a 4.5 40.
He just gets open.
He's a guy. And against a depleted Cowboys secondary now, because I think he's going to fucking cook what's-his-name nonstop. What's his name? The rookie who had all the interceptions 2 years ago.
Sauce? Wait, sorry.
Where for are we Dallas. For Dallas.
Trayvon Diggs. Two years ago?
Deron Bland.
That was last year. He's going to cook Deron Bland and Trayvon Diggs. There's no one on the Eagles. This is a guy who I think from day one is going to be the immediate number one in that offense, that no matter who starts, whether it's Daniel Jones, whether it's Drew Lock, or whether it's Tommy DeVito, I don't know who it's going to be, because they're all three viable options. But you're building for the future, and this is a guy that's going to change your offense. And again, they haven't had anybody since OBJ left. This guy is like OBJ reincarnated, in my opinion, with the frame, with the speed, with the ability to go up and catch the ball. They need him. They got to go get him.
This is who they thought Jalin Hyatt could be in the future, but he's him now.
Jalin Hyatt still is going to be a great slot player, I think.
He has the talent now, though.
Yeah,
if he has the abilities now to be that guy. You have to take
him. You have Roma Dunze on the outside playing your, like, this is how teams get better, building through the draft, through the offense. They got Jalin Hyatt. They got the speed guy. Now you go get the big body. Now they just got to find a quarterback. And maybe who the hell knows? It could be Daniel Jones. Could be Drew Lock.
Do good with them.
Honestly, like, Daniel Jones has enough. Like, here's the thing with Jalin Hyatt and Roma Dunze in that offense. Daniel Jones has enough escapability and ability to evade the rush and extend the plays that guys could get open. These two, I mean, it could be dangerous. Like, I'm just going to say that out loud. I mean, Roma Dunze could be my clear-cut pick or dark horse pick to win Rookie of the Year.
It's not a terrible pick, yeah.
Well, there's a lot. I mean, we just listed off five guys in front of him who have that chance, but with him in that offense, he could be seeing
a
bulk.
For me, it's either going to be Roma Dunze or Caleb Williams, because Caleb Williams is going to have Keenan Allen, DJ Moore.
The amount of weapons, yeah. I would say, though, a sneaky one. We'll talk about gambling odds later. So actually, I won't even bring it up. We'll talk about it at the end.
But no one's had a reach yet. That to me seemed clear cut.
I had him because I always look based on who I'm going to make my next pick with, who's already been taken, and I had the Giants taking him. So I'm glad you did as well. Yeah. Ethan is now on the board with the Tennessee Titans.
So I think likely
this is clear cut as it gets.
Yeah, I think so. Hopefully we're on the same page. I was going to say real fast, though, if there are no trades in the top six picks, we could go 7-for-7 here. I really think we could. Oh, yeah. If there are trades, different story. But with the Tennessee Titans, they need offensive line help. They got Peter Skoronski last year, which ended up being a really good pick, but they need somebody to kind of counteract, especially on the tackle end
There's a clear number one
tackle. Yeah, and there is a clear number one tackle, and it's Joe Alt.
Big boy out of fucking Notre Dame.
So just a couple of stats on him. Obviously, he's huge. I didn't write down his size.
I'll tell you.
He's only allowed 16 pressures in 1,000 snaps over the course of the last couple of years in college.
6'7", 332.
16 pressures in 1,000 snaps. 1,000 snaps. His father is also a first rounder in 1984, by the way, of the Chiefs. So kind of following in his footsteps. I just, again, like you said, it's clear cut.
Here's your Taylor Lewan replacement.
Yeah.
This is, I mean,
and he's also a guy who can play tackle, but also play guard. Yeah. So if you needed him to move around, you could. They've got Nicholas Petit-Frere at the left tackle right now. So, like, you got to find somebody to replace him, and Joel Alt is the clear cut for that.
6'7", 322
His dad was the first round pick when?
1984. He's an older guy.
I was going to say, he had him late. That's a late bloomer. That was 40 years ago.
1984 with the Chiefs.
Not a ton of speed. So to me, I think the clear cut obvious pick for him is to play tackle. He can't play guard, like you said, but he ran a 5.07 40.
Right.
So, I mean, guards got to be more ad. If they can put him at that, even a swing tackle playing right or left side, yeah, you got to protect the. Because to me, like, I don't like Will Levis a lot. I think he has a lot of gamer mentality, though. So the more you can protect him and keep him clean.
Well, these young guys, you gotta have some time to get rid of the ball. Mm-hmm. Anytime you have, you can add an elite offensive lineman, you almost have to do so. One of our friends, Lucas, who has not been on the podcast, but he's been mentioned a lot. This is a guy, as a Titans fan, wants to take.
Yep.
So if you know a fan that wants to take them at number 7, you almost kind of got to think that's what they need.
Well, and he said it last year with Peter Skoronski. That's who he wanted. Yep. That's who they got. And panned out for him. So if he goes 2 for 2 here, I'm sure he'll be pretty happy.
All right. Who's next?
I am next. Now we're getting into not dicey, but we're getting into territory where it's like things are a little more up in the air.
Yeah.
Yep.
I have the Atlanta Falcons next. For me, the Falcons need to bolster their defense in the offseason, starting with the edge rushers. Nobody on their roster last season had more than 4 sacks. Enter a guy.
No, time out. I'm going to propose a trade right here.
I don't think they're going to take it.
Okay.
I don't think
so. All right. Because I think you're going to take a guy who I think the Bears really, really want.
Well, enter a guy who had 10 sacks last season. He ran a 4.46, pure athlete. He's smaller in weight. He's only 6'4", 247, but they need speed. You could argue corner here, not sold on the number one corner, taking him in the top 10. But I think this edge rusher coming out, picking him at 8 would be great. I'm going Dallas Turner, edge rusher out of Alabama here, number 8 for the Falcons.
Yep. That's why I was going to propose that trade, because I think that's who Chicago really wants. Chicago lost a lot of edge, but Dallas Turner is a beast. I mean, absolute just monster on the edge.
It's someone they need. Their defense, I mean, they weren't horrible last year, but like I said, I need a guy that's going to be able to get to the quarterback, speedy one. He might be the guy to put that away for him.
Yep. Don't hate that pick at all. I don't. So I think that makes my pick at 9 overall super easy. I have the Bears. The Bears are 9 overall. They got 2 picks in the top 10. Great for them. They obviously have a quarterback. They got plenty of offensive power. So where are you going to go? You got to stop a lot of offensive firepower in that division, especially the running back position, especially getting the quarterback, getting pressure on them. Travis just took, in my opinion, the best edge rusher in the draft. I think they're going to take the next best one, because I think the edge rushers are going to start to fall right here. Like, once one goes, they're going to start falling off the board, because edge rushers are a dime a dozen. They're going to take Latu out of UCLA. I probably butcher that fucking name.
Latu.
He's the next best edge rusher in the draft. I don't have his, and of course, I don't know why that's doing that. Peter Schreger has got some videos playing. I don't have his stats in front of me, but to me, I think this is a guy they clearly need. Outside of quarterback, edge rusher was the next best or next biggest need for the Bears. And I think this is where they go with them.
Well, I'll give you a couple stats that I wrote down for Laiatu Latu. Again, probably saying that wrong, but he was first last year in total pressure percentage, and he had 13 sacks. So somebody in the Pac-12, especially with some of the firepower they had on the offensive side of the ball with USC, Oregon, Washington, just to name a few. That's some pretty good statistics for a guy that's been pretty consistent for UCLA.
I don't hate the pick because, you said they need some pressure on the ball. I wouldn't be surprised if they try to bolster the offensive line. We saw how much running Justin Fields did in his time there. So I wouldn't be surprised if they tried to help him out there, get a little offensive line help with how deep this class is and talented. But at the same time, don't hate it. I think they go one of two ways. So Jared just picked the other way that I was thinking, which, again, totally fine.
Totally fine indeed. That puts me on the clock with the New York Jets. I think there's a pretty clear-cut direction they're going to go here. You've got a 41-year-old quarterback off of an Achilles tear. You've got some offensive line pieces that have moved around. They obviously went out and got Tyron Smith. But I do think that there is some help that they need at the guard position here to help protect Aaron Rodgers. There's a couple different ways they could go, but I think it'd be hard for them to pass up Troy Fatano here from Washington. It's somebody who can also move around. He plays a lot of guard, but he can play tackle as well. He only allowed 2 sacks in 28 games over the course of his last two and a half years at Washington. And he's just a versatile guy on the offensive line, and that's something that they're going to need. Elijah Vera Tucker, somebody who can't always stay healthy.
Yep.
They've got John Simpson in the left guard right now. So give me a guy who can move around on the line as well as a bigger guy who can protect Aaron Rodgers, because he is obviously not going to be very mobile.
Not who I am taking. That's okay.
Fair enough.
First offensive lineman off the board at number 10 overall. Kind of surprising.
Second.
I took one at 7.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
I had them going a different way, which should I mention? Should I say who I have them taking?
Sure. Why not?
Which I think is a 50-50 chance I have them taking Brock Bowers.
I mean, they also need a tight end, so that's not a bad pick at all either. Their tight ends right now are Tyler Conklin and Jeremy Rucker. So
I think right now is a spot we might have our first trade.
No, because if anything, they would have traded up earlier.
No. I have 12.
I know, but I have 11. They're definitely not moving back to take the risk of not getting this guy that they would have otherwise traded up for earlier.
Yeah. Because you, especially with 2 first-round picks, the Vikings could have easily traded into 4.
Because they are not letting this guy slip if he falls to them at 11. No.
Okay.
The Minnesota Vikings at 11, who I've seen a lot of talk about them trading up to 5 to get this guy. Me and Ethan talked. I think it'd be a mistake because I don't think he has the talent to be that pick. I honestly don't think he has the talent to be pick number 11, but there's no way they pass up on him if he falls this far. They need a quarterback. It's JJ McCarthy.
That's what I said.
I didn't hear you say
that's it. What I said. And
they're not letting anyone else get him. They would not trade back to let somebody else steal in front of them and get them. Like I said, I think it's a 50-50 shot that he's even there at this point.
Yeah. I can I say something? I think Denver might trade up to go get him because he screams. JJ McCarthy screams Sean Payton.
Someone
that is a Sean Payton guy through and through. Drew Brees 2.0.
Someone is going to unnecessarily jump up and draft him. I think it'll be a mistake. I am going to ride it no matter what on DraftKings. His total is 5.5.
Yep.
You bet him over under 5.5. Over is like +120. I'm going to bet it. I don't care. I'm not listening to the smoke screen that people put out. I don't think he's a top 6 pick in this draft. I don't think so.
There's way more talent out there. I was going to trade up with Denver to go get him because he screams like a Sean Payton guy. I'm not really sure he's a Kevin O'Connell guy. That's my issue there. I'm not saying it's a reach for Minnesota. He just doesn't fit in that Kevin O'Connell scheme as much as I think a lot of people are putting out there.
Yeah, but to Travis's point, I can't see them going into the season with Sam Darnold as their starting quarterback. And if you've got to get a guy, I don't know if they're taking – I mean, maybe they reach for Bo Nix. That could be something that could happen. But I think J.J. McCarthy is the likely quarterback that goes, whether they get him at 5, 4, 6, or 11. And those are going to be the 4 spots. I would count this as a win if the Vikings get J.J. McCarthy at any spot. For us picking him, I'm just saying.
For them. Oh, no.
No.
We've done it in the past. No matter what spot they get him, that's a win because it's a need. We saw the team drafted him. Wherever they get him is still a win.
Yep.
Granted, that might take away from somebody else when we get right because, like you said, if they trade up into 5, that means obviously the Chargers are not going to get Malik Neighbors.
Yeah.
So we lose one there but get another one.
Yeah.
Back. So
this not sort of starts to get a little hairy because I thought J.J. McCarthy was going to fall to 12 to the Broncos. Mm-hmm. That's kind of how I saw it. I think the Broncos go 1 or 2 with their pick at 12. If this is how it's going to play out, you have 1 or 2 here. They have no tight end production in Denver, none whatsoever. On the other side, they still have the cornerback 1 available that they can pair with Pat Surtain on the other side of the ball.
It screamed to me because I thought Brock Bowers was going to be gone. Your second option screamed to me Broncos pick here.
Yeah.
Which is who I think you're going to end up taking.
I think I'm going to because, like, if Brock Bowers has fallen this far, Denver's gonna be like, okay, what have other teams seen that they've passed on him? Almost like just the same thing with Drew Lock. Why are teams passing on him? Why are teams not taking Brock Bowers? Can he not block? Was there something in interviews they saw that we didn't see? And I think here, if you have the option to grab the number one DB off the board to pair with Pat Surtain, and it's going to be a guy who's not going to be so overloaded with pressure from day one to be the number one lockdown corner, you can learn from a guy like Pat Surtain. We're going to take Quinyon Mitchell out of Toledo.
I don't love the pick, but for them it makes sense. I just don't think the number one corner off the board going at 12 should be a corner out of Toledo.
Yeah.
Probably not a guy who's seen top-tier talent.
Yep.
But again, not saying he could be good, but not saying he's going to be the best.
We got Brock Bowers falling in our draft.
We do.
Do you think it's going to happen?
So I'll say this. I won't be shocked if the Jets take him at 10 because also – I know he's not a huge blocking tight end, but we talked about needing help on the line. He could very well be, as well as still being a weapon in the offense. And so I wouldn't be shocked if he goes there. I felt like offensive line made a lot of sense. But if he's at 10, the Jets might take him. But also I wouldn't be surprised if he went here either. So, like, I think it's one of those 50-50 could go either way for both teams.
Hey, I have seen some absolutely asinine mock drafts.
Yep.
So far, ours is not that.
Yeah.
Well, we have a bold pick and Brock Bowers making it out of the top 12.
Yeah.
That's not that bad.
No, not at all. Not at all. And that kind of aids into my next pick because I was going to go probably flip-flop of whatever you did here. I think that the Raiders are probably going to take Bo Nix here. I know that might be crazy.
Over Michael Penix?
Have we seen Michael Penix rise? I'm just saying. I'm asking.
Michael Penix's injury in the playoffs is going to make him slide.
Yeah, and that's the only thing is I've still seen Bo Nix higher on boards than Michael Penix. I think they both could go here. I think Bo Nix makes more sense to me. I could be wrong. They may not take a quarterback at all. They might ride with Gardner Minshew behind Aiden O'Connell, but I don't see that happening. And if you would have taken a quarterback, I think they would have went cornerback here. And so have nobody in that secondary. So if you would have ended up taking a Bo Nix or something, I wouldn't have seen Bo Nix, Michael Penix going back to back. So I would have went cornerback. Since you didn't take a quarterback, quarterback's falling here.
I don't hate the position choice.
Yeah.
However, I have not seen Bo Nix taken in the first round of many mock drafts.
Really?
I think this might be an Ethan shot of whiskey.
For taking Bo Nix at, what was that, 15? 13?
It's kind of high. There's another cornerback on the board.
I don't hate it because it's bold.
They could have went Terrion Arnold, yes, but they could have even went.
I have another guy on there that I like a lot, but okay. I'm gonna leave that alone.
Okay.
But
I'm not going to make him take a shot because I think – No, okay. I think it's valid. Because the Raiders historically fuck things up, and I could see them fucking this up and taking Bo Nix. I don't think Bo Nix is going to translate to the NFL.
I had it. We talked about him before they played their first college football, or before they played their Pac-12 championship game. I had him as my favorite quarterback coming out of this draft class. One game does not define him for me. I think he still will be good. He's fallen down draft boards, which means he's probably going to get the Drew Lock treatment. He probably will go somewhere where he's not going to get the opportunity and we'll kind of just take the back burner. But we'll see. According to Ethan, he might be day one starter in Las Vegas. I also think that maybe if the top three guys on the board or top four guys on the board are off, they may not go quarterback because they still have Stidham and
they have Gardner Minshew now.
Gardner Minshew.
Yeah. And but they also have Aiden O'Connell. That's what you just said.
Yeah, they don't have Jared Stidham.
Yeah. Sorry. O'Connell and Minshew. That's what I meant. So
O'Connell's a thumb. No one would start that guy. I mean, he looks like a fucking thumb.
But we won't make him do a shot. Maybe at the end if he doesn't have another.
Fight. Yeah.
I have New Orleans Saints on the board at 14. Their needs don't stand out to me as strong needs. I saw each one. I think they have a solid roster top to bottom. It's just adding a playmaker. So I think they're going to go best player available, which a lot of the offensive linemen start to fall off the board here in the next 5-6 picks. Their constant struggle with Trevor Penning. This past season, they benched him. They didn't know if they wanted to start him or not.
There's a BPM available that you didn't think might not be available here, though.
Yeah, but I don't think they need that. I really don't. I think Juwan Johnson is good enough for them. I think they might need some help in the offensive line part. Like I said, with Trevor Penning, they're going to need to draft a guy who, if he doesn't work out, they got to plug right in his spot. I think there's a guy here that falls perfectly with Olumuyiwa Fashanu, offensive tackle from Penn State. Again, you talk about a guy that doesn't need to start day one. He kind of had a little bit of an injury scare in the combine. So a guy who may not be ready, but a guy that can sit back and be ready to plug in when he is. This fits perfectly for them. I didn't know.
You also have J.C. Latham still on the board too.
I thought so. I thought he'd already be gone. But with the need, because I think Fashanu might be the better guy long term.
Yeah.
But he might have fallen down the boards because of that injury. This would be the best spot for him to go because it doesn't need to start day one.
Okay.
And his talent might be better than J.C. Latham overall.
Okay. There we go. All right. I have a this is going to be fun.
A proposal?
This is going to be – no, not a proposal.
Okay.
I have 15 overall. I have the Indianapolis Colts. Let's just stop and take a minute to think about who their GM or who their owner is. Come on, everybody.
If you
get in the minds of Jim Irsay right now.
If you think for a second that they're taking a quarterback here?
No. What? Get in the minds of Jim Irsay. I see a fucking white cornerback on the board.
Oh gosh.
Oh,
they need a corner so bad.
He's not going this high.
Bro,
Cooper DeJean's going
in. Cooper DeJean out of Iowa is going to go to the Indianapolis Colts. I would almost bet that. I almost bet that. Guys, we're talking about Jim Irsay here. He's not the most sensible guy on the face of the planet. When's the last time we've seen a white corner in the NFL?
You raise a good point.
I raise a great point.
At this point, like I said, after 12, anything can happen.
Yeah.
Isn't the craziest
thing. Anything can happen after 4 in this draft. Let's be real.
Yeah. So I have the Indianapolis
Colts. I just have them taking Terrion Arnold.
Yeah.
But they're gonna go. But there's always guys that we think are gonna go into these. Like, we can't just go 1 through 20 on the big board.
I'm just mostly upset because if their offensive linemen aren't there that I want to be there, I think the Packers are drafting Cooper for sure. Iowa guy, Midwest guy.
But he wasn't gonna be there. Upset. I don't think he was gonna be there regardless.
No. So I have the Colts draft and Cooper DeJean. He is to be fair, I think he does stand a shot at being a good corner in NFL.
What is that? 15? I think he is, yeah. Yeah. He broke his leg in November. So he's coming off of an injury.
Yeah.
But a broken leg's different than a torn ACL.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's something that you can recover
from. And he has all the physical attributes. He's fast, he's quick, he's shifty, he's able to play a zone defense. He's versatile. That's kind of what I'm saying there. He also can return punts. He can do all that stuff. Something that I think Indy needs a lot of because they have their guy in AR-15 to play quarterback. Could they have gone receiver here? Yeah. They could have gone Brian Thomas out of LSU, I think, maybe to kind of help out. But I think they still have some good talent on the offensive side of the ball. I think you got to bolster that defense. They've lost a lot of talent on the defense side of the ball over the last 2 years, really, especially in that. And this is Cooper DeJean's a guy that could put a nickel. He'd come down. I think this – to me, this is more of a Jim Irsay pick than anything.
That's fair. I mean, I don't hate it. I had them taking corner. I just had them taking the next best corner in terms of where they're being drafted. Obviously, we see crazy shit happen on draft day. This would not even blow my mind as being crazy.
Yeah.
This is just a little bit of a – hey, it's a reach, but it could turn out to be great. I hope he's
– Remember when the – Patriots took Cole Strange at number 15 overall, and was a projected like third rounder.
Yeah,
anything can happen.
Yeah,
no, I don't hate it. I just, like I said, I thought Cooper would fall a little bit later, maybe not to the Packers at 25, but a little bit later nonetheless. You guys might think this one's a reach. It's okay if you do. I just think it's a position of dire need for the Seahawks, and it's also another guy who is a little versatile in the position in which he plays. Seahawks need a center, and I think they're going to take Graham Barton here from Duke. The dude's 6'5", 313. He started 34 games at left tackle, but he also has started center, and he is listed as a center in this draft. He also has played guard. He's somebody who can move around the line. The starting center for the Seattle Seahawks as of right now is Nick Harris. I think that's a position that they're going to want to bolster, just that offensive line in general. They've got Sam Howell, Geno Smith. Their skill positions are fine. They just drafted Devon Witherspoon, so I don't see them taking anybody in the secondary with this draft. Linebacker might be a bit of a reach at this point. So give me Graham Barton.
I have them taking linebackers. I thought Latu would fall to them here, but their interior line is definitely somebody who they need to take next. And outside of him, no guard should go till the second round. Mm-hmm. So outside of Graham Barton, that might be the
only. Well, the one guard that already got taken was the guy to Washington.
He's listed to tackle.
Graham Barton?
No.
Oh, I was going to say, I have Barton listed as a center. So, yeah.
Catano was.
Yeah. He's technically listed as a tackle. Yes. I don't know why Mel Kiper has him as a guard on his big board, but he's definitely a tackle. So, this is the only interior offensive lineman that should go in the first round
for sure. Yeah. And he may not even go this high. But that's why I said it might be a reach, but it's the position of need.
He will go first round. So, if the linebacker's not there for them, I see them taking that. If they don't want to go that, maybe Jared Verse might be the only one, but that's about it. All right. I have Jacksonville Jaguars at 17. They almost have to go offensive line here. They had one of the worst lines last year. Out of the six players that they had on their offensive line with over 248 snaps, only one of them had a PFF grade above 64. They all allowed 16 sacks and 112 pressures outside of that. Gross. So the run of offensive linemen continues here. I think I have fucking 9 of the teams to take offensive linemen in the first round. You got to go with the best offensive lineman available here, which probably he might not fall this far, but if he does, great. I didn't have him falling this far, but now that he's here, I got to go J.C. Latham.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which, absolutely. And it makes my next pick a lot tougher because, yeah.
Well, the thing about J.C. Latham, too, is he's an excellent run blocker. And you've got a Jags offense with why am I blanking? Fucking the dude who got in trouble's brother.
Travis Etienne.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. His brother got in trouble moving to Georgia. With Trevor Etienne, you give him a good run blocker. He's been a good running back since he's coming to
the league. The one that's in the NFL is Travis. Trevor's his brother.
Okay.
Trevor and Travis, tough to get.
Losing my mind. Yes. So having somebody be able to set some excellent blocking for ETN is going to be a huge step up for that offense, kind of open up some lanes for him, but also open up the passing game if you can get the run game going. Because like I said, ETN was phenomenal with a pretty unstellar offensive line last year. So if you give him somebody to run behind.
And he's massive. He's just like the guy we talked about. He's 6'6", 342, a guy that's going to be able to get to the secondary with that blocking.
Yep.
So, all right.
I was going to go Cincinnati Bengals at 18. I was going to run away with an offensive lineman here. The fact this guy's fallen this far, he would be a fucking absolute monster in this offense with who they have a quarterback. Brock Bowers. Bowers and the Cincinnati Bengals offense would be a fantasy fucking god. Joe Burrow's never had a tight end.
I mean, I didn't even think he'd fall this far, so I didn't even think that he would even be there.
I haven't even thought about him.
But the fact that he is, I mean, I can't not take him.
Oh, yeah, no, for sure.
I can't not take him for the Bengals. He may not fall as far. If he falls to 18, did we fuck up?
I think we fucked up. Probably. I think someone would obviously at this point trade up for him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have no trades, which is wild, too. We've never done that.
No, I hate looking at mock drafts and seeing trades because it's like that's so hypothetical.
Yeah.
I'd rather just run through it if we don't think a trade's going to happen or if we don't love a trade.
It hasn't been natural to me.
So unpredictable because, like, think about last year, right? The Texans drafted 2 and then trade up and drafted 3.
Right.
When's the last time that's fucking happened? Yeah. Two teams taking back-to-back picks in the top 10?
So Brock Bowers, if he falls 18, the Bengals will take him, regardless of how bad they need offensive lineman help. But look at the linemen that we have here. Like, you have maybe Fuaga at Oregon State or Guyton out of Oklahoma. But I'll say that I think those would be almost semi-reaches at this point. When you have – if Brock Bowers on the board, to pair him with fucking Joe Burrow and Jamar Chase and T. Higgins and
– which is why I thought – because assuming that Brock Bowers was gone, because obviously I did at this point, I didn't take a wide receiver because you got T. Higgins basically
on a franchise tag.
He's only on 1 year deal left.
Yeah.
You got to think about wide receivers for the future. At this point, Brock Bowers is essentially like a Travis Kelce wide receiver hybrid for the future. So, if he's there, obviously. If not, they're going wide receiver.
Yeah. I would, if not, I would have him taking either Thomas or Worthy.
I was going to say, I'm taking Brian Thomas.
Yeah.
I will say out loud too, for those who are going to see this on Twitter and be like, why the fuck is Brock Bowers at 18? Listen to our podcast and you'll understand that we let him slide a little too far and our reasoning was sound. If he goes in the top 10, we won't be surprised, but don't come at us on Twitter and be like, why the fuck you got Brock Bowers at 18? All we'll respond
it's
to
not,
is,
it's to not a talent thing.
We've always had tight end slide. I don't know if we had Kyle Pitts going to the top.
Let's remember the last time a tight end went super early. He's a fucking flop.
Did anybody think Bijan Robinson was going 8 last year? No, I don't think so.
No.
So
you know what? We're going to take a little bold pick. But with that, we're at 18. We got a few handful picks left and some gambling picks. We'll take a piss break here, grab some beers in Jarrett's basement, and we'll be back here in a few minutes.
All right, so we're jumping back in. I have the next pick. It is at 19 overall. It's the Rams. I think that there's really only one direction that they go here, especially with still who's on the board. They're going to take a cornerback, and they're going to take Terrion Arnold. This is a team that has some aging guys in the backfield, for one. You've got at the corner position Tre'Davious White and Darius Williams. So you don't have a whole lot in your secondary. On top of that, even their safeties are questionable at best. Terrion Arnold falling all the way to 19. This is where I could see Cooper DeJean going if he doesn't go to the Colts. I could see these two picks being flip-flopped.
Yep.
But regardless, I don't see how the Rams don't take a cornerback here. So give me Terrion Arnold out of Alabama.
Don't hate that.
Yep.
I didn't have him there. So I had him going earlier. So great pick for them. My next, I have the Pittsburgh Steelers at 20. And then, Travis gets another team that needs offensive line help. they're desperate. They need to replace left tackle Dan Moore, who allowed 7 sacks last season and 51 pressures. Again, we have a –
That's not great numbers.
Those are not great numbers. That's why they need to replace them.
Yeah.
And luckily, we have offensive linemen on the board available for him. I didn't think this guy would be there.
Yep.
So it's getting tricky. I had them taking Amarius Mims, which it could be either him or Talise Fuaga.
Yep.
Sure, I fucked that up. Mm-hmm.
No, that's how I said it.
That is who I am taking, yep, is Fuaga with this pick. Had him going a little bit earlier for the guy that they absolutely need to replace. I don't think that they can really make a mistake here if they take one or the other. Have the position right, may not have the guy right, but he's an outstanding run blocker, which we all know they've needed over time now, when you have fucking Najee Harris that's averaging 3.2 yards a carry there for a little while. This is a guy who you need on your offensive line.
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely see him going there. So cool. All right. I'll go 21st overall. I have me and Travis's Miami Dolphins here at 21 overall. And this to me is, if he's here, it's a slam dunk, no brainer pick for me. We haven't had any front 7 guys on the defense side of the ball come off the board. And the Dolphins are half to replace they have big shoes to fill in the D tackle position with Christian Wilkins leaving. They've signed a bunch of guys to like some 1-year flyer deals. They're going to take, if he's here, I can almost guarantee it, Byron Murphy out of Texas, D tackle, a fucking large specimen of a human being. He eats up and he is the antithesis of what's the white guy's name? Zach Sealer. He's the antithesis of what Zach Sealer is. Zach Sealer is a pass rusher at a defensive tackle position. This guy will take on 2 offensive linemen, swallow them up, eat the run. He may not show up in the stat box a ton, but he's going to eat up a bunch of attention on offensive line and allow other people to eat Jalen Phillips, Bradley Chubb, Zach Sealer, because this guy's going to take on so much attention. He's going to be a stud.
Similar build, maybe a little bit more quickness. He's 6'1", 300 pounds.
He's a big dude.
I mean, that's a stout man.
Yeah.
And the fact that he's slid a little bit down some boards over the last month, because I initially wanted them to take him, and I'm like, oh, he's going to go fall somewhere between 13 to 18. Now that he's fallen down, if he's there, have to take him.
Yeah.
No doubt. Either you have to take him or an edge rusher.
Yep.
The Dolphins have had a tough time getting to the quarterback. Now that Christian Wilkins is gone, they're going to need somebody to replace that.
We have to. I mean, he may not even get to quarterback, like I said. But he's a guy who eat bodies.
If he's not there, they're going to have to take somebody that will get to the quarterback, because he's probably the only D tackle that should go in the first round.
Yeah.
So, love it.
That makes my life hard. the dramatic pause was not intentional. It's because – I think that the Eagles honestly could really use a D tackle. And
to, at this to, point, to pair with Jalen Carter.
Yeah. Well, and just the fact that they've got, you know, you've got guys like Bryce Huff in the linebacker position. You've got dudes like, I mean, N'Kobe Dean's there. So maybe not, maybe I'm overthinking it. I know that they could use this. This one's kind of tough for me. Like they could use maybe some offensive line help because they had,
is this a team that could trade back?
And they could. I don't, I'm not going to do that here because I honestly don't know who's going to trade up. I don't know what somebody would want here in this position. Yeah, I mean, I guess at this point, if you're not going to take,
hold on. Yeah, you're about taking offensive linemen.
Yeah, is where I'm headed with this because
I have a team that's kind of picks soon, and I think if this guy's still there, they could trade up and take him.
I think if they were going to go offensive linemen here, they would hope that Graham Barton fell to him because they lost Jason Kelce.
Right. Yeah,
that's not the case. You know, you either go BPA,
yep,
which
or trade
wide
back.
Wide receiver might be a good need.
Receiver is something that I've seen that's a need for them. I know they have AJ Brown and fucking Devonta Smith,
and they just signed Devonta Smith to a long term deal.
But they could use somebody to fill that wide receiver three position because right now it's Devonta Parker. That dude's hurt by week three. So
you're picking at 22. I'm picking the Cowboys at 24.
And you've got a guy who you really want.
I do.
Sure. Why not? I do. I don't know if this will actually happen, but let's do it.
Well, so. Why not? We haven't had one trade. Yeah.
Might as well the Cowboys jump up two spots.
Yeah. See what happens. Who they want. Because I am honestly in a ringer. There are like three or four different ways I think the Eagles could go with this pick.
Yeah.
I
really and it might shake out and it might make it easier for you at 24.
Yeah.
So let's just do whatever. Pick swaps, whatever. Cowboys jumping up from 24 to 22.
Okay.
And the Cowboys are going to take a need they desperately need. They've had no tackle since Tyron Smith has left. They're going to take Tyler Guyton from Oklahoma here. They're going to trade up and get Tyler Guyton at 22. Ethan saying, fuck.
I had them taking him at
But it makes sense, right? Like, yeah. if you're seeing this run on tackles and run offensive linemen happening, why not trade up a couple spots, maybe give the Eagles a third or a second, whatever it is, trade, pick swap. If the Eagles are, like, really, like, what do we need here? And we'll go and do it. I didn't mean to put you on the spot there. But
you're good.
But I think that makes a ton of sense for Dallas there.
I don't hate it. The reason I was saying fuck is because you've now taken both guys that I think the Packers could take in this draft.
I don't think either of those guys that you want them to take are going to fall.
I've seen a lot of mock drafts have the Packers taking Tyler Guyton.
Really?
A lot of mock drafts.
But if they fall that far.
I mean, Dallas, if we're looking at the best offensive lineman available, you have Guyton. They could have drafted up and got Guyton or Mim from Georgia, maybe. But that's really the only two left that I see as first round talents, in my opinion.
Which leads to pick number 23, which I had saw if the Vikings didn't find the guy that was sexy enough to take, they might trade back out of it. I think a guy might have slid a little farther enough to take here in this position for me. They obviously got their first need, which is QB, out of the way. Talked about interior offensive line. There's not really any to take. Wide receiver, D tackle, who are some of their other like late secondary needs. Maybe not so much here, given that they're one of their better needs. Edge rusher has slid just a little bit. Got to go Jared Verse here for the Minnesota Vikings.
Yep.
I don't like that pick at all. As a guy who's probably going to fall around this pick anyways, if it's a position of need, they have two first-round picks. So if they get their guy, their quarterback, with the first pick, maybe if they don't get him with the first pick, it's kind of flip-flopped and they take a quarterback at this spot, maybe with a Penix or Bo Nix if they fall that far. Obviously, they haven't here. Well, Penix has, but you know what I'm saying. So I like it. Awesome. I have no issues with it.
So now you'll jump back into the 24 here with the Philadelphia Eagles.
Back-to-back picks. And it didn't necessarily make it easier, but I think I have a better idea of where the Eagles would go at this point now that you've seen an edge or defensive end and a offensive lineman come off the board. They have two cornerbacks that are on the other side of 30. They have James Bradbury, who's 30 years old, and they have Darius Slay, who's 33. I could see them taking a guy, whether they plug and play or develop. I think Nate Wiggins from Clemson could go here at 24. Just a guy that you can develop behind. He gets some playing time, obviously, but maybe he's not a starter. So give me Nate Wiggins out of Clemson.
Yeah, I like that pick.
turning around.
I had them. I had them taking a corner at 22, given the fact that maybe Cooper DeJean was there.
Yes. Yep. And then turn around. Then at 25, we have my Green Bay Packers, who I think could go a couple of different ways, and I've already talked about it. Right. I think they could go offensive line. I think they could go cornerback. They just saw a cornerback come off the board. They've seen. What I've seen would be their offensive lineman guy come off the board. But I think there's a couple other offensive linemen I think they could take. But the thing is, I don't know if there's another position of need at the moment. I don't know if they reach for a cornerback here when they've got two picks in the second round.
I don't know if they'd be reaching for a corner. There's one on the board that I think fits perfectly with a guy that they had in the past, given the fact that they have wild-ass names from the same school.
From the same
school. Ha ha, Clinton Dix, Kool-Aid McKinstry.
Yeah. I mean, you might convince me, because the only other thing that I was thinking they might do here is go Marius Mims, because the Georgia connection with those all the other two, Georgia guys they've taken. Those are the
taken. Top two guys I think you'd take here.
Yep. I'm more convinced with the signing of Xavier McKinney, and I know he's a safety. But if they still believe in Jair Alexander and Eric Stokes, which I don't know if they do or not, but it kind of seems like that's what's trending. I feel like they have to go Marius Mims here. Like I just do. I think offensive line, especially helping out now that you've got Josh Jacobs, you've still got a developing Jordan Love, all these young skill position players. If you get somebody on that line to help out that offense, I just think that that's I like I said, I really like them taking Tyler Guyton here. If he was there, he's obviously not. So take a guy that has a Georgia connection with Quay Walker, Devonta Wyatt. What is his name? Oh my God, why am I blanking? He was also from Georgia. They got him in 2 years ago. I should probably just pull up their depth chart. But either way, taking an offensive lineman here. Not the one that I thought was going to drop, but the one that I think they'll take. They could also take, I'm not going to do it, but I wouldn't be surprised if they also tried to go with Talese Fuaga, because he's a good run-blocking offensive lineman as well.
He's gone.
When did Fuaga go? From Oregon State?
Uh-oh.
I took him.
Well, I didn't pick him, so no shots for me.
Uh-oh.
I took him with the Steelers pick.
Okay. I missed that then. Okay, then exactly. Amarius Mims is the best offensive lineman available.
Awesome. My next pick is with the Tampa Bay Bucks. This is a tough one. Now you're getting into territory where it's like none of these teams really need somebody at all. So it's either you're going best player available or someone who might be like you're trying to replace somebody whose contract might be expiring.
Devonta Wyatt was the guy, by the way. Sorry.
The two Tampa Bay Buccaneers guys I had there, I had them either taking an edge rusher or Graham Barton. We have Graham Barton off the board. Edge rusher isn't necessarily like a super big need. Wide receiver might be someone they're trying to address. You got Chris Godwin entering in the final year of his contract. Once that's up, you have an old Mike Evans, who, don't get me wrong, Mike Evans is great, but you also have a guy who's slid that might be fantastic in this offense, who I'm going to end up snagging with Tampa Bay Bucks. It's Brian Thomas Jr.
Yep.
And we haven't seen a wide receiver go since 6, right?
Yeah.
So
he's only the fourth wide receiver off the
board. And I could see 5 or 6 going.
So yep, here we go. Because here it goes. There's Arizona Cardinals at 27.
They already took one.
They did. Oh, yeah. Two? You're right. They did.
Like, damn, they take Marvin Harrison and A.D. Mitchell?
Wouldn't surprise me, though. It could happen,
but there's some other talent. There's a talent on a position I think they really need that's there, especially this late.
They need an edge rusher bad.
And a corner. So there's plenty of talent they could take. Just which end do you want to go?
I don't think there's any corners left that I think are worthy of.
I think there's two more corners that will go in the first round.
They need an edge bad, but I'm not going to put Darius Robinson in the first round.
Yeah, I'll tell you the corners available are.
I know.
Ennis Rakestraw, edge rushers would be Chop Robinson, Darius Robinson.
First of all, I've seen Darius Robinson go in a lot.
I know.
I think the four guys I just listed are three of the four will go in the first round.
Yeah. So to me, the Cardinals, they got the wide receiver. They need edge help bad. They have no edge rushers. All their edge rushers have over the last even 5 years have been older than fucking dirt. So I'm gonna take the zoo kid. I'm gonna do it. Darius Robinson to the Arizona Cardinals. Makes a lot of sense. Got a high motor. can play in a 3-4 or 4-3. That's the big thing for me. He can play in bowl system because he has done it in college. So
they also are known to have Mizzou guys.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, you got Marcus Golden. Who else have they drafted? Blaine Gabbert got drafted by the Jags. I was like, for some reason. But either way,
yeah.
Marcus Golden, again, another defensive guy, too.
Yeah.
That has gone there and been successful. So.
All right. Ethan is up with the Buffalo Bills.
The Buffalo Bills.
And they need a lot.
They need a lot, but there's one position that I think they really need. Their wide receivers are Khalil Shakir, Curtis Samuel, and Mac Hollins. Now that they don't have Stephon Diggs, Gabe Davis is gone. I know it's Josh Allen. People will say, like, well, Josh Allen can throw to anybody like Patrick Mahomes. I don't think it's the same. I think that he's going to need somebody on that side of the ball. And I also think he's going to need a big somebody. There's a big somebody that's still on the board that maybe is a bit of a reach. I don't care. I think that they go A.D. Mitchell here because he's 6'4". He's a big body. You've got Curtis Samuel, Khalil Shakir, who are not big bodies that you can throw into the slot. But you need a guy who's going to be big, competing at the top of the route to make plays for Josh Allen. So give me A.D. Mitchell. You could see Xavier Leggett going here as well, but I think A.D. Mitchell is their choice.
Either or.
Or they might take Xavier Worthy, but he's a smaller guy. He's fast as fuck. I hear you. He's fast as fuck. But I like A.D. Mitchell at this spot.
Yeah.
Reach. Are you sold on wide receiver for them?
I am, and the only reason is because I know they need a lot of help, especially on the defensive side of the ball.
So you talked about Jerzon Newton flying down the board.
Well, but the reason that I talked about it is because I don't know why. I'm like, if he's fallen this far, there's got to be a reason, right? And so something tells me that maybe he's not a first rounder anymore. He might be. But I just don't know why he's fallen so far. I had seen him as a top 10 pick not even a month ago. And now I'm seeing him not even falling in the first round anymore. I don't know if his combine was bad, if his pro day was bad, but.
Who's this?
Jerzon Newton.
From Illinois.
All right, number 29, I've got the Detroit Lions. Almost everyone, all the mocks I've seen, all of the pro analysts I've seen have the Lions taking corner here. There's two that have fallen this far that I think are first-round picks that they're going to go with. They have Carlton Davis and Anik Robertson. I think they're going to need some depth at this position, something that they've honestly struggled with over the last few years. So it's between the two. It's either Kool-Aid McKinstry and it's Rakestraw. I had Kool-Aid gone at this time, so that's who I'm taking. I think he is a little bit better than Ennis. No offense. Got a guy coming out from
Alabama. Mel Kiper's Ennis, and Rakestraw's the ninth cornerback. So,
what does?
Mel Kiper's Ennis is the ninth cornerback.
I've seen a lot of teams taking him, or a lot of mocks taking him in the first still, though. So, like, really? Even if he doesn't go here, I wouldn't be shocked if the Ravens.
Be prepared for fucking missed tackles.
Taking him first.
I have Kool-Aid McKinstry to the Lions at pick 29.
Okay. All right. That leaves me at 30 with the Baltimore Ravens, and they could go a couple different ways. They could use some offensive line help to beef up that offensive line because they just got, you know, obviously they just paid Lamar Jackson a ton of money, got to protect him. They could go wide receiver here because they always need wide receiver help.
It's tough
because
getting to the point where it's
am I crazy? They lost Hollywood Brown, right? Hollywood Brown went to the Chiefs.
No.
Yes.
Yes, he did.
What?
Yes, he did.
Marquise Brown.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, he went to the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Speaking about him earlier, he went from the Cardinals to the Ravens last year.
Yeah. And he was the number one wide receiver for the Ravens last year.
Yep.
Yeah.
So okay, that makes it easy for me. They need another speedy guy, Xavier Worthy, wide receiver at Texas, to the Ravens. A little speedy, small, shifty guy, fits well in that offense, I think. They got the big back and Derrick Henry, obviously. OBJ is not going to last forever. If he is even going to come back next year. He's my son with the Dolphins.
He's a free agent.
Yeah.
He doesn't sign anywhere right now.
Yeah. So there you go. Xavier Worthy out of Texas. I mean, they lost Howard Brown.
I mean, they could go anywhere.
Yeah. Xavier Leggett. Yeah.
They need defensive tackle. They could take Jerzon Newton. They need interior line. They could take Cooper Beebe. They could take a wide receiver. They could take corner. I mean, they need.
I don't think their problem has been defense over the last few years. I think their problem has been inability to score when it matters. That's been the big thing with them. They can never score. They can beat teams 17-10 all day long, no matter who they have on the defense side of the ball. Their big issue is, can we score when it matters most? Mm-hmm. So, yeah. To me, makes sense. Xavier Worthy. And with that, Jared is done.
Ethan has big eye.
Jared is done. This one's tough for me because the Niners, again, they're a team that, like, I think they could use an offensive lineman, but so many linemen have gone off the board. I don't know if they'll take one here, if it's a reach. Because is Cooper Beebe a reach at this point? They could also use some cornerback help just because, again, of guys who are either aging. Right now, their cornerback on the opposite side of Javarius Ward is DeAndre Lenore, who is not a terrible cornerback, but are they looking for help? They could use a safety, but right now safeties are low on that. Like, that's a second-round pick. So I'm kind of at a loss here. I think I don't even know like what BPA would be right now. Like what are you guys looking at for best player available? Because that could be a direction they go.
Where?
Just BPA in general. Like, because I don't know if they're gonna reach for an offensive lineman. I don't know if they're gonna reach for a cornerback. I mean, it wouldn't be a reach, but do they need a cornerback?
BPA right would be Jerzon Newton or Chop Robinson.
Is he an edge?
Yes. Yeah, and they just lost. They lost Chase Young.
I mean, they've got Leonard Floyd.
Yeah,
who's right now?
I haven't taken Darius Robinson.
So I think then you if Jerzon Newton is somebody who, we just talked about Chop Robinson. He's a tackle. Then Chop Robinson makes a lot of sense to me because they don't need a tackle. If we're going to take an edge guy here, Chop Robinson makes a lot of sense. I didn't have him because I didn't know who BPA was at this point. I thought they might have went the route of corner here, but I don't know if Ennis is going to go to the Niners. I don't know if it's somebody that they're looking for. So give me Chop Robinson at 31.
All right. Not a bad guy to develop into that San Francisco team. I will round it out. 32nd pick. I've seen more wide receivers go off the board than I thought would go. I think the consensus among mock drafts and what I've seen is that the Chiefs are going to go with wide receiver. They have Rashee Rice, who obviously we don't even know if he's going to be available for X amount of weeks
this season. They have Hollywood Brown.
Outside of that, they have Hollywood Brown and Justin Watson. They're going to need some help on that. You can't just keep rolling Patrick Mahomes out there with like, oh, Patrick Mahomes is going to do Mahomes things.
Right.
They need some help. Worthy's gone. Mitchell's gone. The only other option I had was Leggett. But I think they need a bigger body. Right now, their biggest body is Justin Watson, who isn't necessarily the most talented guy on the field. So if I'm going bigger body, I'm gonna go bold here with a 32nd pick. I'm going to skip Xavier Leggett, and I'm going to go with a guy who might be not as quick, but a large human. We saw them go bold with Clyde Edwards-Helaire a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Guy who might be – they could get early second. They're not going to be there. I'm going Keon Coleman with their last pick in the first draft. In the first round,
don't hate it. I could see it happening for sure.
And again, 32nd pick overall in the first round is
you got to take some.
It's one risks. Of those things that like you often see it be a guy who you don't really expect because typically the 32nd pick overall that team doesn't really need a whole lot.
Well, they did the exact same thing with Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Because we played that draft game a couple years ago.
Yeah.
And I had Clyde Edwards-Helaire as my running back. They ended up taking him in the first round.
Yeah.
It was huge.
Yeah.
So this could be another one with Keon Coleman.
Yeah.
So with that being said, the first round is done. I think there are some picks that could sway the other way, but overall, I like it.
Yeah.
Looking at gambling picks.
There's a couple guys. There was no running backs taken.
I don't think there will be a running back.
You think so?
Not
the only team. Yeah. The only team I thought, and I because it's one team that I had. They traded up. I traded with Ethan to go get the tackle at Oklahoma. I could see the Dallas Cowboys drafting Jonathan Brooks.
There's so many running like a lot of the running backs are even still going to be available middle of the second round.
Yeah.
I can't see anyone trading up to get him. If they do, kind of dumb on their part. But you never know.
Well, that was just the other thing, right, is like Jonathan Brooks right now is projected as like the 42nd-ish overall pick. The Cowboys pick at 56. I mean, even if you don't get Jonathan Brooks, they could easily go out and grab what's his face from Florida State, Trey Benson. They could grab Blake Corum, although I wouldn't personally. I don't. He's so small. You don't often see super small running backs work out as the lead back
for
teams. So, and also, if you're going to pair Blake Corum with Deuce Vaughn, good fucking luck.
Small.
Yeah.
But,
if we're going into gambling picks, I've got DraftKings up right now. The number two pick has slid. Right now, Jaden Daniels to go number two is -150. I'm still hammering. I'll hit hammer.
I think I would be shocked if they go Drake May. I really would.
He's +125. Right now, I'd put a hefty 3 units on Jaden Daniels to go number two at -150. Now, if he gets any higher than that, probably not. Number three, Drake May -145.
That's easy. Yep. If Jaden Daniels, but yeah.
Yeah. Four, Marvin Harrison at -220.
They don't trade. Yeah.
Here we go. Here's where things get dicey because there's rumors around the Chargers trading pick number five, which if we think they're going to stick with it, Malik Nabers at five is +230.
Oh, wow.
Is there a favorite or is he
the favorite at +230. Wow. Just pick five, not Chargers drafting him at five. Pick five +230.
That makes me think that there's some intel that's saying that there's definitely going to be a trade there.
Well, here's the thought. I just pick five. It's him at 230, Marvin Harrison at +250, and then J.J. McCarthy at +250.
So maybe they're thinking the Cardinals might trade, and then Marvin Harrison
gets
there.
Or the Vikings or the Broncos trade up to five.
Yeah. A lot could happen. Again,
I think the thought there is that the Vikings would jump into four, and that way the Chargers would have clear pick at Harrison at +250 at five.
Yeah.
Number six, which we had the Giants. Roma Dunze is +250. Malik Nabers +150 because of the thought.
Yeah, because if he's still there, they're probably going to go to Malik Nabers. Yeah.
Seven, Joe Alt -170.
The fact that it's even -1 and not -2 something is pretty impressive.
Eight, the Falcons. Leatu Latu is +200. Dallas Turner +210.
Ooh. So intel there. So then my at 10, it's probably
nine. Number nine, which is who had the Bears taking.
Me. I had him taking Luatu.
+1600.
And the thing that's crazy is because
they don't think he's going to be there.
Well, they think that a lot of mocks
they're going to trade back.
Well, yeah. I've seen that, or I've seen some mocks having them take a wide receiver, and I'm just like, why?
+145.
Yeah, you've just traded for Keenan Allen, and you have DJ Moore.
Yeah,
like I know you lost Darnell Mooney. Oh well.
Yeah.
And then if not, the number two favorite for the number nine pick is Jared Verse at +290. Which would be a reach and a half.
Yeah.
At nine.
Yeah.
Then we've got 10, which is the New York Jets, who Ethan picked for. Brock Bowers is a clear cut favorite at +150. Next person's not even close.
Nice. So it's probably Brock Bowers then.
They don't know the shit, though.
I still think offensive line makes sense, but if Brock Bowers is there, I would not be shocked.
Which you had Fautanu.
At 9 or 10, sorry. Yes, I had Fautanu from Washington.
He is the second offensive lineman. Fuaga's first at +600. Fautanu's +750.
Wow.
Which, again, when it comes down to offensive line there, it's
it's need. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, man. That's tough. This draft is going to be interesting. I just think I could see the reason Jared Verse being taken at 9 because the Bears don't have a second round pick. So if they do want somebody.
You can trade back and get them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For somebody that might want somebody there more. Now we're going to go into draft position per player. Cover some needs. Adonai Mitchell, 27.5.
And I took him at 29.
Mm.
Over 28.
Over is -165.
Yep.
Amarius Mims, 22.5.
Took him at
25. Yep.
The over is only -120. So that's, I like that a lot.
Yeah.
Here you go. Bo Nix, 32.5. Over is minus 210.
Okay, well, then he might not be a first
rounder. Ethan might be taking a shot here. Ethan, pour him a shot of whiskey.
You got shot glasses down
there? I do.
Here we go. Pour it up.
Brock Bowers, 12 and a half.
Under is minus?
Under is
250.
Under is minus 200.
Okay.
Four and a half.
Two and 12, or 12 and a half.
For Brock Bowers. Here you go. I think this one's great because I haven't seen him.
Give me like a three-quarter shot.
I haven't seen him a lot higher than this in a lot of mocks. We had him go over. Byron Murphy. Anyone want to guess what his over-under is?
Do we even take him?
Yeah, he took him with the Dolphins.
30, oh, yeah, sorry. Five and a half.
15 and a half.
Oh, sorry. Oh, I thought your influx in your voice made it sound like it was going to be a way later.
Over is plus 135.
Oh, so Dolphins
are going to
get cool beans. Sick balls.
I'm trying to think of other people we might have had that way.
There you go. Go E.
Bottoms up.
It's good stuff.
First Bo Nix pick.
Hey, if he gets taken at 13, I'm taking the shot out of my mouth and giving it to one of you.
Here's a guy we didn't have going in the first. We talked about interior offensive linemen. Maybe not a lot of them going in the first round. Jackson Powers Johnson, over under 31 and a half. His over is plus 160.
Where's he even at on the big board? Because he wasn't even a name that I saw.
He's Mel Kiper's third ranked center.
That's the thing, though. Centers, like outside of Graham Barton, a lot of them were ranked in like the 50s. So unless you've got guys who need him, which I guess you talked about a couple of teams outside of the Seahawks who do need a center. The Eagles, you had another one on your list too. So I guess maybe there might be some teams that reach.
Here's a guy that I've never even read this name going through my draft board. Jordan Morgan. Anyone know who he is?
Nope.
What position does he play?
It just gives me the name.
Hell yeah.
He is an offensive tackle. Offensive tackle out of Arizona. His draft is 32 and a half.
Jordan Morgan is Mel Kiper's seventh-ranked offensive tackle.
So his over of 32 and a half is plus 115.
It could happen because if you have that many people. The thing is how many offensive linemen in total, centers, guards, and tackles, do we typically see in the first round? And he's the seventh-best tackle. You're telling me there's going to be 10 offensive linemen taken in the first round?
Yeah.
I don't know if that's going to happen.
Crazy. There's some value to be had.
Yeah.
If you listen to, the podcast, I mean, not telling you all of them are going to hit.
Right.
But there's a lot of plus monies out there of guys that we had going over.
And again,
maybe some who are a little stupid, but.
How hard the draft is. And, you know, again, we don't have intel that these teams have, right? The best we've ever done is 7 correct picks out of 32. So that should just tell you right there that, like, mock drafts, yes, there's some value to them and there's some insight to them. Nobody is ever getting these things right.
Well, here you go. Total offensive lineman in the first round, 9.5.
Is the over plus?
Over is minus 200.
They really think 10 offensive linemen are going to – that's crazy.
They're not that valuable.
Not at that volume, no. No.
I'll take the under there.
We had the under. Yep. I mean, going back to it, we had
one, two, three.
Well, Ethan took a couple. We took a couple four. That weren't off the that weren't on the big board.
Did we take Fuaga? You did. That's right. 5, 6, 7, 8. We took 8.
But so it was close.
It was close, but that gives us
not 10.
Two.
Two
gives us two. Two with
we're never right. So
QBs is 4.5.
I take
under.
Well, we took 5 though. With
you Bo took Nix. Bo Nix, so.
But that's it. That was the fourth.
That was the fifth.
JJ McCarthy.
Yeah,
and then your top three. Mm-hmm. Yep. But you're. I mean, you're right though.
She's a hammer, Bo Nix.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I think one of those three teams, 11, 12, 13, is going to take a quarterback.
Running backs is 1/2. Under 1/2 is minus 1600.
That's worth a flyer to me.
Take a little bit over.
That's worth a flyer.
You never know, right?
Wide receiver is 6.5.
We didn't have that many.
We got close.
We had 1, 2, 3.
Did we take Brian Thomas at all?
4, 5,
We had seven. Yep.
We did have seven, which I thought was a little high. I mean, that number's dead even, and that's plus 180, under 6.5 minus 240.
Yeah. I could see it being six. The thing is just there's so many teams that need wide receivers this year. So many teams. But
and then
they might wait. There are a lot of how often do we see a ton of wide receivers pan out in the first round, right? Outside of your top couple, most of the time the receivers that we see develop are guys. I mean, fucking Cooper Kupp, Puka Nacua, those guys were fifth, yeah. sixth round picks.
Tyreek Hill.
Yeah. I don't think Stephon Diggs was a first rounder.
If so, he was late.
Yep. And then you've got obviously your guys like Justin Jefferson. Why am I blanking? Jamar Chase. Yes. Again, your top guys for sure. Like Marvin Harrison is probably going to be a phenomenal wide receiver. Malik Nabers probably going to be a phenomenal wide
receiver. Stephon Diggs, 146.
There you go. Outside of your top three.
Stephon Diggs, 146.
That's what he went.
Yep.
So outside of your top three guys in drafts most of the time, like your value you're finding later in the round. So you might see some of these teams wait because they see guys that they've been scouting and they're like,
Tyreek, the guy I want. 165, fifth round.
Like where – I'm trying to think of some other current wide receivers that have been really solid. I mean, Devontae Adams was a second or third rounder. Like Nico Collins, Tank Dell. I know that they've only been like 1 year guys so far, but again, they were really good last year.
Yeah.
Guys that were not drafted in the first round, unless Nico was. Was Nico a first rounder? I really would love to know that.
Don't think so.
But otherwise, yeah, exactly. Like AJ Brown was a first rounder, right? Or was he a second rounder? I don't know. Now I'm stuck.
Now we're
DK?
Nico Collins, 89th.
Okay. So almost third round. Yep.
DK Metcalf was the third rounder.
No, he was third round. Sorry. Yeah, you're right. DK was third rounder.
The second, for sure. Second. He followed the first round.
Yeah, because that was whenever he called Pete Carroll crying.
Yeah.
Like saying thank you.
Yeah.
Gotcha. After it was
so late. So again, Tyler Lockett was third round.
Yep.
A lot of value to be had.
Yeah.
So a lot of money to be made on this draft.
Take the under in receivers, even though we took over, because it sounds like that there's a good chance the teams wait and draft guys later.
Yeah.
Do your research. We'll tease our mock draft all the way up until probably a few hours till the draft, then we'll release it fully. Let's just try to beat seven correct picks, which we could do in the top seven.
It'd
be great.
If there are no trades, which there probably will be, and I mean by no trades, I mean in the top seven. If there are somehow no trades in the top seven, I don't know how we don't go 7-for-7. I really don't.
Then all we got is getting all right. But back to the top
Bears
10.
Bears take Jaden Daniels. Shut up. Jaden Daniels. Caleb Williams goes to Washington. J.J. McCarthy goes
after the top 10. It's very rare that you get more than one or two
guys. We'll
figure it out. But there's our draft episode, sixth year in a row. Hopefully, we'll get many more.
We'll see you for year seven.
See you for year seven. Peace.